Jacob had a special song with a group. Joel was in that group, and he's not able to be here today. Please remember him in prayer. And Satish has a visitor that is from his neighborhood, and Satish and this gentleman and Samuel speak the same language. You think, well, they're all from India. Of course they speak the same language. That's not the case at all, being from India. There are many languages in India, and they happen to speak the same language. So welcome. Nice to have you here today. If you have someone with you as a visitor, we want to greet them. We want to make sure they feel welcome here today, and we're so thankful that everyone is here. Next Sunday in the evening service, I will be speaking, and we will observe the Lord's Supper at the close of the service. So be prepared for next Sunday night, the Lord's Supper. Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning. We've looked at the many similarities between Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians on these subjects that we're dealing with in chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We looked at three aspects of the true believer in this study already. First of all, our place in the family of God, that we focus on heaven and not on this earth. And that's hard for us to do. It's hard for us to keep our focus on the Lord and on spiritual things and on heavenly things, because life is right here in this world, and it is like the ox in the ditch that the Lord spoke of. That happens to us all. I think Soledad is home watching today, because it's not an ox in the ditch. It's the puppy dog that had surgery that she's having to stay home to take care of. And Joanne's having to do some of that also, along with Gary, with a new dog that they got. And people ask me all the time, don't you want a dog? I don't want a goldfish. I don't want anything. I got to feed and take care of. We had, for 20 years, we had a yard cat. We didn't worry about where it slept. We didn't build a bed for it. We didn't put it up at night. We would feed it a little bit, but most time it went out and caught food on its own where we live. And if I would pet the thing, I don't like cats, but it would get up on my lap if I sat on the porch. And I'd pet it a little bit, and then I'd put it down. It'd come back over, and you know how they do? They stick your head up under your hand, you know, so you have to pet it. And if I petted it a little bit and paid it some attention, then the next day there'd be a gift on the porch for me. It might be half a bird or part of a mouse or, you know, whatever. And I really don't want anything that I have to take care of, and it depends on me. So if you want that, God bless you. I hope it is a blessing. So we are seated above, and we're to keep our focus on that. Secondly, in verse 5 through verse 17, while we live on this earth waiting for the call to our transformation to become like the Lord in His body, Scripture spells out a specific pattern of behavior that we as Christians should live. Both what we should put aside, the sinful and negative behavior, and what we should put on in the positive behavior of spiritual things. The transformation of our current lives that helps us in our preparation for the transformation to be with the Lord when we're called up to heaven. And thirdly, we won't get there today, but or haven't yet, verse 18 through 25, Paul wrote to the church on the responsibility of the home and the marriage, and even in the business that we do with others in verse 18. Wives are to submit themselves to their husbands, as the Scriptures reveal. And the husband is to love continuously at all times and in all circumstances his wife. Ephesians 5:25 says Christ is the pattern, that he loved the church and gave himself for it. And a husband is to love his wife with that same kind and quality of love that was sacrificial, giving, holy, redemptive, nourishing, and cherishing. And that's the kind of love that God has had for us and we're to have for one another. Such love forgives, it sanctifies, it cleanses. And then it warns us not to let bitterness. Verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Bitterness is a real damaging thing in the character of a person. If a person becomes bitter, I'll be honest with you, nobody really wants to be around a person who is bitter. And they complain, and they blame, and they're angry. That's terrible that takes over in a person's life. The husband and the wife are parents, and we must remember that we don't own each other. We belong to God. And because we belong to God, we should be very careful how we treat one another. You remember Elisha, the prophet who took over after Elijah, and how he went into the village and the people said, "Go up, thou bald head." And he prayed and a bear came down out of the woods and ate up all those people. Well, they made fun of the prophet of God for being bald. And it's important that we recognize we're talking about each other. We're talking about people that belong to the Lord. They're God's children. You are God's children. I'm one of God's children. And we should be careful how we treat one another. And that's included in the home. We not only should be on our best behavior when we go out in the world, we ought to be on our best behavior at home with one another. Because that can do great damage if we do not, and it can do great teaching and building if we do what is right in that respect. Now, we're looking last week at chapter 3 and verse 10 through 17 on how we ought to put certain spiritual behaviors into our lives in a daily way. We're to put out of our lives the wrong things of the past, and we're to put on the new things. And it's pictured like taking off a garment that is dirty and putting on a clean garment. And that is pictured in the righteousness of Christ that has been given unto us. We're to put on the righteousness and we're to put off any of the bad behaviors of the past and of sin. I said last week the apostles' church letters or books of the Bible deal with these subjects of how the Christian is to live, what they're to put out of their lives, what they're to put into their lives, and the support of, if you read through your Bible in a direct way, when you read these church letters, you're going to hear a lot of the same emphasis coming from different books of the Bible. And that's things that God repeats. He has a reason for that. This is teaching that needs to come right where we live, and God can help us in our daily walk. Now turn back, if you would, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I want to read a passage from there that deals with these same things that we were looking at last week. In Philippians 3, and beginning with verse number 7, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering." That's plural, sufferings. "Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I continue, Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, Paul reveals his own testimony of the change that came into his life by coming to the knowledge of Christ. And he explains that God has done a work in him, and he now possesses the righteousness of God. And it comes through faith in Christ. We won't turn and read, but in Romans 3 and verse 21 and 22, also in verse 28 through 31, deals with our righteousness coming by faith in Christ, not by keeping the law, not by works that we have done, but by faith we obtain the righteousness of God. In Romans 4, 3, he reminds us of Abraham. Abraham was before the law was given with Moses. And Abraham obtained the righteousness of God through faith in chapter 4 and verse number 3. So righteousness comes to believers. It is imputed unto us, the scripture says in Romans 4, 22 through 25, that becoming a partaker of the divine nature of God makes us, in God's eyes, righteous because we are in Christ. Christ substituted himself for us and then grants us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we obtain that righteousness because of our faith in Christ. So let our trust be in Christ. Let our thoughts be in Christ. Let us be thinking on Christ and spiritual things, that we might serve the Lord and please God because of all that he has done for us. The righteousness of the believer is acquired by faith, not self-effort and not by works. Before we were saved, we were found in Adam. We are descendants of Adam, all of us, all the races. We are all descendants of Adam and Eve. They had children, and they continued down until Noah came along. And Noah survived the flood of Genesis with his family. And his three sons and their wives populated the areas of the earth that we know of where most of the races come from. And this picture in the Bible of the grace of God in preserving them, because Noah feared God and prepared the ark to the saving of his household. But we were in Adam before we were saved. If you go to Romans 5 with me, look at this briefly, Romans 5. We're also going to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 if you want to go ahead and mark that in your Bible with something. Romans 5 verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 15 and verse 21. Verse 20 said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So we were in Adam, and we were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And God in his grace and mercy gave the Lord Jesus to die for us, and he quickened us or made us alive through faith in Jesus Christ. So in Adam we all die, but in Christ we'll all be made alive. In Adam there was condemnation because of sin, but in Christ there is justification and the declaration that we are found in righteousness because we are in Christ. In John 3:18, all who are not yet believers are condemned already. It's not a matter of waiting till you die with a balance scale to see if you weigh out that you did more good than bad. It has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation must come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him we are declared righteous and all our sins are forgiven. Thank God for his work of grace and salvation. Now righteousness comes through faith, Romans 3:22. It comes upon them all who believe. Righteousness is imputed to the sinner by the work of Christ, Romans 4:3. Righteousness is a gift of God. It cannot be earned through works, Romans 5:17. Righteousness comes from God, Romans 10:3. He blessed through not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. He is the God of grace to all. Righteousness comes by faith, Romans 10, verse 8 through 10. The fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, and it is unto the praise and glory of God that we obtain that. The child of God is to pursue righteousness in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 11. He's to follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. The righteousness of the law cannot save anyone. Every once in a while I talk to people and I ask them, you know, are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Oh, yeah. I'm religious. I keep the Ten Commandments. You can keep the Ten Commandments as best you can, but that will not save you. You must know Jesus Christ. You must humble yourself as a sinner and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue you from the penalty of your sins. Human beings do not have a righteousness that is acceptable to God in themselves. We were sinners because we were born in sin and will die in sin unless we come to Christ and he saves us and rescues us from that previous life. Now press on to the third point today. The new character of the believer takes on the attributes of God. We were created originally in the image and the likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse number 26. Created in the image and likeness of God. Sin entered in, and it separated us from God, just like Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden. But God in grace and mercy hath made a way for us to be forgiven and to take on his likeness. It's God's will, Romans 8, verse 29 and 30, that every one of us be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to become more like him, to have the attributes of God, to be holy as God is holy, to be merciful like God is merciful, to be kind like God is kind, to be humble of mind, to be meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another, meaning to support one another and endure with one another. And some of us are the kind of people you really got to have the grace of God to endure with us, you know, and keep that forbearing. Forgiving one another, reckoning that you were forgiven by God of all your sins, so you must be willing to forgive others for sins against you. And above all these things, the glue that holds all this together is love, the kind of love that God has had that he would give his son to die for us. It is often referred to in the scriptures as charity. And that is an English translation from a Greek word that means a sacrificial giving kind of love. We use the word charity, we talk about charitable places like the Red Cross and like, what's the place you go buy used clothes and stuff? Goodwill, places like that. You take stuff and they help with charity. Well, that's not what the biblical word means. The biblical word means we give our best unto God, the charity that God has given to us in Christ. So if we have that kind of love, it holds all these attributes together to be godly in our behavior, which is what the book of Colossians is asking from us. You go back to Colossians 3 with me and I'll get finished here. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Let me read 14 also. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So to feed the growth that we need to live the Christian life, to become more godly, to put the past behind and put forward in our eyesight that we're looking to become like Christ, this needs many things. First of all, it needs the peace of God in our lives. These are imperatives, direct, instructive commands. Let this peace be in you. Philippians 4:7 says this peace is above anything that man can comprehend. It will keep your hearts. Let me read verse 7. I got mine marked right here. Chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep defines as meaning to garrison about, to keep you safe, to keep you protected, to keep your heart focused on the things of God. It is a divine umpire that rules in our heart, that we might know how we are to live, and when we do something wrong, that we have conviction saying, you know, that's not really like me, and that's not like what I want to do to be like the Lord. Inner calm and assurance and peace. Now that's contrasted with the peace from Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is peace with God, because before we received Christ, we were at enmity with God. But there's also an inner peace that controls our heart and life. Let that peace rule your heart. Let it garrison about and protect your heart from the things that would invade your life. In 1969, I graduated high school as a 17-year-old kid. and enlisted in the Marine Corps actually before I graduated. And so as soon as I graduated, I was at Parris Island. I spent 9 weeks at Parris Island and then 8 weeks at Camp Lejeune in infantry training. And then they shot me to California to Camp Pendleton for raider training, and then on to Vietnam when I turned 18. In Vietnam, we put a heavy pack on our backs and went through the jungles. I was a Marine grunt, 0311 MOS, military occupational skill. And we would go as a company into the jungles for 60 days at a time, search and destroy, searching for the enemy to destroy or at least run them back into North Vietnam when they could be, we could not cross into Cambodia, Laos, or North Vietnam chasing them if we got them on the run. At night, we would dig in. We'd get on a high place in a circle. We'd dig foxholes, fighting holes, we call them, all the way around. And every man pulled between 4 and 6 hours of watch. We set up claymore mines out in front of us in case the enemy started coming up. We could yell to get people to put their head down and mash a button, and it would blow that claymore mine, and it would send out shrapnel in an arc of a 45 degree, and we put two of those out in front of each hole at night. In the center of our compound were mortars. So they could fire out illumination or they could fire HE rounds, which is high explosives, against the enemy. And we had an M16 with a lot of magazines loaded to the gill. And every fourth or fifth man in the column there in the holes was an M60 machine gun. And you know, you could kind of sleep in peace, not worried about being overrun during the night. Somebody was watching out for you. Somebody was taking care of you. And you could sleep. You could sleep because you were tired too and exhausted. We were one body and we were taking care of one another. And the scriptures teaches us that we are one body in Christ and He garrisons our heart. He protects our heart through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to flee from immorality and sexual sins because our body is to be the temple of the Lord that the Holy Spirit dwells in. Therefore, He compels us to purity. Pureness like Him. Scripture says in 1 John 3, if we have that hope of going to be like Christ and receiving a body like His body, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Let God's peace rule in our hearts. Secondly, let the word of Christ dwell in us, live in us, that we might learn and grow from the word of God. The virtues of a spiritual man are found in Scripture if you study the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit in our daily life. I ask you a question. How often do you think about the fact that you're living the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit. The Word must take residence in us. We hear it. We diligently are to study it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Psalm 119 tells us to hide God's word in our heart, memorize it. Philippians says we're to hold forth the word of God. Peter said we show forth the praises of God. The word becomes important to us when it becomes as important as eating and sleeping. You got a routine when you go to sleep at night, don't you? Some of you have learned, don't text the preacher after 9 o'clock at night. He's probably asleep. You'll wake him up. I have to keep my phone right there in the window beside where I sleep in the chair, right within reach, because at any time the bird alarm could go off in here, fire alarm, and I'd have to be notified to come and help turn the alarm off or something of that nature. I've been doing that for 44 years. Occasionally somebody calls me in the middle of the night with an emergency. Somebody's been taken to the ER with, you know, serious illness or something. And they wake me when that happens. A number of people wake me because they just send me something. And it's late. I don't turn my phone off. I should turn the volume off, but I don't. It's important to find those things. I have a time when I usually go to bed. I call it my pre-bed nap. About 9 o'clock, I fall asleep. And then I wake up about 10 and take the rest of my medicine so I can go back to sleep. And then I get up about 2 and then about 5:30 or something like that. So that's my routine. Now you know all about me. You've got times that you plan to do certain things. You've got times when you have to get up to go to work. You've got times that certain things have to happen. And these times that we know and understand and are set about, we need to put forth the effort with the Word of God of keeping this a priority and a time in our life when we do it. Do we think as much about our 3 meals a day or more? Do we think about the time to read the Word? Do we think about the time to pray? Do we think about the time to study the Scriptures to get closer to God? The responses of being filled with the Spirit are listed. If you notice when we read Colossians, you can read it again, that the response of being filled with the Spirit is the same as being filled with the Word of God. It's having the Word of God live within us, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart, and admonishing one another of the treasure of the Word of God. Let us give thanks. Let us be thankful to serve the Lord Jesus. Verse 17 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for this crowd of people that have come today. I ask your blessings upon each one. Pray for safety and protection as they leave. I pray that you would receive our thanks and our praise for salvation, for the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit that reminds us and enlightens us in the knowledge of the Word. And Lord, that you keep our hearts with peace. We have peace if we know you and walk with you. That we're saved by the grace of God. And like a child that prays, "Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." We know our souls are kept because we put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So bless this congregation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.